The executive session will be held immediately after the vote and will not be open to the public. As a reminder, the resident's name is confidential. You may refer to them as resident or by their initials. Items that are referred to as a consent agenda may be considered for as a single action unless a board member removes a specific item for review, discussion, and action separately from the other consent agenda items. The board will review and discuss and take action on the following matters listed on the agenda. The agenda for November 13, 2023 regular board meeting is as follows. Roll call, please.
Vice President Archer?
Here.
Member Campbell?
Here.
Member Stephen?
Here.
Member Hill?
Here.
Member Brimhall?
Here.
Member Cook?
Here.
Member Felix?
Here.
Absent is President Kidder and Member Coford.
Okay, thank you. We have quorum. Declaration of conflict of interest. I have 5A2, Kim Royce Reardon. I'm recused on him.
I have 6, or I'm sorry, 5C19-22.
Okay, anybody else have any public questions for Jesus? Thank you. Call to the public. Person who wants to address the board do not need to request permission in advance, but they do need to complete a request to speak to the board form so that the board is aware that they are here and they want to speak to the board. Each person who wants to address the board will be given 5 minutes to do so. However, the board may limit the number of persons speaking on each issue to a reasonable number of persons. Pursuant to ARS 38-431.02H, the board can discuss to take action only on matters that are listed on the agenda. Board action on issues that are not listed on the agenda is limited to directing the staff to study the matter or schedule the matter for further discussion at a future board meeting. Review and discussion of possible action on approval of minutes. Board may vote to go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A2 to discuss confidential information, ARS 38-431.03A3 to receive legal advice. First one is draft regular meeting minutes from October 16, 2023.
No one addresses.
Sorry?
No one wants to address
this. Oh, did anybody want to address us? I beg your pardon. I rolled right over that. Anybody have any?
Anybody here for the call of the public? Let's address the board for an item that's not on the agenda. Thank you.
Thank you. My bad. So we have a motion to accept the draft minutes from the regular meeting minutes from October 16th.
So moved.
Second. Madam Vice President, one quick question or comment. The minutes don't have an adjournment time, so I don't know if we want to add those.
But we will add those.
Thank you. Pending the adding of the adjournment time, are we still motioned and seconded?
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. And the draft for executive session meetings, October 16, 2023.
The motion. Madam Chair, yes. If we can postpone those. I haven't had them reviewed by the Assistant Attorney General yet.
The executive session one?
Yes, please.
Okay, so we will postpone that. Okay, thank you. All right, we will move on to consent agenda items, review, discussion, and possible action on complaint cases. The board may go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A2 to discuss confidential information, or ARS 38-431.03A3 to receive legal advice. The name of a resident, again, is confidential information. Please use the word resident or refer to them with their initials. The board may block vote as desired. Consent agenda items may be considered on a single action or a block vote. And we may remove an item from the consent agenda for discussion.
Madam Chair, can I interrupt, please? I have, over the weekend, we had a longer weekend. We had a holiday weekend. So I had a lot of calls, a lot of things coming in on Friday. I have, from the staff perspective, I have a request to continue on three different cases. The first two, this is Section 5A. We had a request to continue from A1 on Sean again. We had another request to continue on A3, Evelyn Flores. They share a common attorney, and unfortunately the attorney was ill and was not able to make the meeting today. So I would ask for those to get postponed to January. We are not scheduling a December meeting. Because a database cutter. So we just don't have the staff ability to have a December meeting. So if we grant these postponements, it's going to be on the January meeting.
Okay.
The third one I have is a counselor by the name of Michael Reeves is here on behalf of item 5A8, who is also requesting a postponement today. Due to some notice issues, they received late notice. So those are the three from the staff perspective that I'm asking to postpone until January.
And do we vote on that?
No.
Okay.
You can just postpone.
Can we ask a question?
Sure.
So on number 8, the late notice, what notice was late?
On behalf of the respondent, Benjamin Reeves, Michael Reeves is available. I just talked to him for 2 seconds before the board meeting. Apparently, there's been a change of address. They didn't receive notice
correct
for the meeting
until Saturday.
Did he not tell this board of the change of address like he was supposed to?
He literally just changed. He just changed companies a week ago. And so that, excuse me. Losing my voice. So that should be literally in the mail. And he has changed states also. He now is working in Utah. So.
Madam Chair, Board Member Campbell, I haven't had time to look this up. I know I received a telephone call either Friday or Saturday, went in Sunday, and I did not return that. I have not checked for address changes. They're required to submit an address change within 30 days.
You can tell us
in
January then.
Yeah.
And we'll deal with it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Can we get all this in writing?
Yeah.
Sure. Need a response.
Pardon?
Need a response.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
So those three items will be continued to January.
Thank you very much. And will we receive notice of the date?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So next up is item 2, Kim Royce Reardon. And I have received, do you know what page number by any chance?
16.
Member Campbell, can I have you run this one?
Sure. Yeah. We just change chairs.
Oh, no, I just.
Madam Vice President, yes. Did you want to do the dismissals and letters of concern?
Let's do all those first.
You want me to do those first?
Yeah.
Let's do all those first.
Okay.
It's up to you. You don't have to.
I'm happy that she wants to move first.
Okay.
So leave those on.
Okay. I'm back.
Okay.
We are moving to item 5B, items 1 through 16 on the agenda, and these would be for a staff recommendation for a non-disciplinary letter of concern. Did anybody have anybody removed and pulled out from this list of our board?
I would like to have a
should be a Meyer number one. At least come before the board if she's here.
Okay.
I'd like to hear what she has to say.
Okay. And if she's not here, do you want to move forward with the letter, or do you want to have it continued?
So he's going to pull that from the consent agenda. And we'll address that one.
Okay. According to the sign-in list, I have two people who are present. Anna Stanica and Mariam Yosef. Are they wishing to be heard to dispute a letter of concern?
No.
No.
Well, actually, if you don't mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah, although I said no, but if you don't mind me to say something.
Do you want to call the matter? Just call the matter, just, let her come up.
Yeah.
Just pull them both from the consent.
Okay. Well.
And then you can determine whether or not they want to speak.
Who are you?
Mariam Yosef.
Okay. Oh, you hold that thought.
Yes, ma'am.
Anna, you? Yes. You're good?
Yeah.
You don't want to be here. Okay. So then I'm gonna move that we offer the non-disciplinary letter of concern 5B numbers 2 through 15.
No, 2, 3, 4,
and 5 through 15,
okay.
Oh, 5 said she's fine.
Okay.
So items 2 through 15 will receive the letter of concern. Is there a second?
Second.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Is Tabitha Meyer here?
But you need to staff dismissal. I mean the dismissals, and then go back and hear the letters of concern.
Okay. All right. Well, she's not here, so we'll have to talk about that. Okay. I'm going to move on to 5C. These are for recommended dismissal. And I have two recused.
You should have a quorum
without
Member Felix, so
correct.
You can just vote the whole block.
So just vote the whole block. Perfect. Okay. So did anybody have anything pulling out of this list?
Are we just pulling number 22 off?
Number 9 and 22, but we can, she's recused, but we can still vote. We have quorum.
Okay.
Madam Vice President, just a quick comment before you vote. I continue to look forward to seeing an enforcement matrix. I know Director Comfer presented a draft framework for how we deal with dismissals. But again, this month I feel that there's a little inconsistency with how we're designating dismissals. So I'm not going to pull any individual cases, but I just wanted to share that because it's a little bit of a foreshadowing to my vote. And since we don't explain our vote here, I wanted to share that ahead of
the
vote.
Okay. Noted. Thank you.
Thank you.
With that, we'll move to vote to dismiss items 5C, 1 through 33.
Second.
Roll call.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
No.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay. All right, folks, if you were in section 5B and are here and not being heard, you may leave. If you're in section 5C, you were just dismissed and you may leave. You may stay around for fun.
But we're not serving food.
But we're not serving lunch. So. Thank you for coming. So we're going to go back to, let's go ahead and hear from Ms. Marianne Joseph. Who's question?
How can I help you?
So I was under C.
Okay.
Nine.
I'm C.
Yes.
But I do have a question because I received the. I was wondering why I received the plan of corrections.
That's part of health services.
Okay. So.
If you want to stick around for a little while, maybe staff can help you afterwards.
Okay.
I mean, is that okay with you?
Yeah,
we'll talk at a break.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
You'll receive your letter in the mail. Notification.
Thank you.
We'll come back and talk about number one, B1, in a minute. 16, Marion Yosef.
Yes, ma'am.
Come on up.
Thank you.
Have a seat right there. Okay, and so you're up for a non-disciplinary letter of concern for the complaint that was against you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes.
Do we want to hear from Phil?
I think that's a good way to start.
Yeah, let's hear that.
Okay, this is complaint 2023-NCI-0296. Licensee is Miriam Yosef, who's present here today. On April 19, 2023, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Huron Manor LLC located in Chandler. Compliance inspection identified 4 deficiencies in 3 different areas. Ms. Yosef was notified of the complaint and she did provide a written response. And on May 31, 2023, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $500 for 1 substantiated violation. The review of the report, although the allegation was substantiated. Staff did not feel that this goes to the level of law professional conduct, but did believe a letter of concern would be a more appropriate way to resolve.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this starts on page 2067 of your materials.
Thank you. Like to make a comment?
Yes, please. Okay. When we got the inspection done, first I wasn't given the time to get everything. I have everything and I sent emails and I have copies and I sent letters, I have copies for kind of disputing the action, the inspection result. And then when I came to the house, I wasn't given the time to pull the information off the computer because the computer was acting. That's one, two. I mean, I felt, you know, and I produced all the documents showing on the opposite of the inspection result. But I felt it wasn't enough time or wasn't fair to me to defend or to dispute it because of the timing. So I understand timing is essential, but I just want you to know that I have documentations that everything was in order. But unfortunately, the timing was I feel unfair because of the timing. But on the other hand, I respect the timing that, you know, you have.
I'm looking, the one item that went to enforcement was the failure to keep the premises free from a condition or situation that might cause a resident to suffer injury. I'm trying to see what that exactly entailed.
She provided a good response and
acknowledged
the issue.
And so there's no
time issue with us.
No.
Not with us.
And so
did you find it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how long have you been a manager here?
For 2 years.
2 years, okay.
Yeah. Were you there 2 years in December?
Were you there when the inspection
I was not, but I came in the last segment of the time.
Okay. Madam Vice President, quick question. So this item that went to enforcement was on
a good amount of lawn equipment that was apparently kind of sitting out back. I'm sorry, there are so many documents sitting here. Can you just tell me how that was resolved? I don't see it.
Actually, what was out in the backyard, uh-huh. It was a piece of wood where it goes, and although she said it's, I mean, with my respect to everybody, it was described as rusted material, metal, which is, I sent a picture.
Okay.
And it is for the yard, for the water not to go toward the house because of the yard, that backyard is a higher. So that was what it is. And it, under the sink, I do have the documentation and the pictures, everything is in order. So,
but were those hazards removed?
It was, I mean, okay, well, the result based on the report, of course, I had to remove that piece of wood, but it was not rusted. You know, I'm trying just to explain that it wasn't, with my due respect, it wasn't really, because if it is a rusted material, which is metal, it is a hazard, in my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. But it was a piece of wood to prevent the water of going to the house, which is, I ended up removing it.
Can I just clarify? Because the citation says a rusted rake, a garden shovel, garden hedge shears, a garden pick, and a garden pruner. That's not just a piece of wood.
Yeah.
So those things were out on a sidewalk.
It was,
according to the surveyor.
Yes, it was. The yard man was still working in the yard. So I don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask just a quick follow-up question?
Yes.
You might have to ask you a straightforward question.
Please.
So DHS came out, did their inspection. They found a deficiency.
Yes, sir.
They found a violation.
Yes.
You agreed to a $500 civil penalty.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to understand why you're coming here today than saying nothing really happened, wasn't really a violation. I'm trying to understand why the change part.
Thank you for your comment. I really
sure.
appreciate that. I think when I have no room to work with it, I have to get things going. So I can't just stand like a thorn, you know. It's just
sure.
like you want to go with the flow and you want to
sure.
make things work. So that's why. And again, I'm not disputing, I'm just explaining.
So would the staff recommendation for a non-disciplinary
yes,
letter of concern, it's an advisory letter. Don't let this happen again.
Absolutely.
Do you have a different outcome that you would like from this board today?
You know, I wish I can. I don't know if it would be dismissed, but I'm trying to get to that point. If it happened, if you think it is not, that's fine with me. I'll take it.
Okay. So basically, you don't want a letter of concern. You're asking for this
possible.
Whistle. Gotcha. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
So the equipment that was out on the sidewalk, the gardener who was on site was using those tools?
Yes, ma'am.
Including a rusted rake. That's what the gardener was using. Those weren't just random tools there.
No, it was not. It was the yard person was working on the yard.
And did the surveyor see that person?
I don't know if she said or not. It doesn't show that she saw him.
Okay. And so what would you do next time when you have somebody there working in your yard?
Well, from now on, he has to just put everything in the cart and take it wherever he goes around the yard. So.
And you told the gardener that?
I sure did.
I've been hit by a rake. It's not very fun.
No.
So that is a hazard.
Yes.
What does the board wish to do? Stick with the letter of concern? Dismiss?
I will stay with the letter of concern unless if she got it dismissed by the Department of Health Services. Which?
Did you IDR this? send in a no formal dispute to Department of Health Services?
I sent it, yes, in that time. But again, because of the timing, it was, you know, basically not acknowledged because of the timing.
It was too late.
Too late.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you list the concern?
It was basically what the deficiency was. Manager failed to ensure the premises was free from the condition or situation that may cause the resident to suffer physical injury.
Okay.
I want to see about it.
Okay. All right.
It's not a discipline.
I recommend it.
So your
motion would just be
accept the environment. I move that we accept staff recommendation on this case.
Thank you.
Second, well, we got to vote.
Yeah.
We have a motion to accept the staff recommendation.
Second.
With Brimhall.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Hill.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. So, do you want us to just say
Madam Chair, the one that got pulled from the letter of concern is not here.
Right.
My recommendation would be go back to 5A, start going through those for the people that are here.
Okay. All right, 5A, backwards on the agenda, we're going to talk about consent agenda complaint cases. And looks like the first one up would be number 2, Kim Royce Reardon. And this is the one I have used on.
Okay.
And so do you have that page number?
What's the page number, Jess?
Page 60 of your materials.
All right, we're going to discuss this next case, and if you will present the case, please introduce yourself.
Kim Royce Reardon.
Thank you. And Bill, if you
sure.
Proceed.
Complaint 2023-NCI-0189. Licensee is Kim Reardon, who is present here today. And on December 19, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility complaint investigation and compliance inspection at Canyon Assisted Living LLC located in Chandler. The compliance inspection identified 5 deficiencies in 4 different areas. The complaint investigation identified 3 deficiencies in 2 different areas. Mr. Reardon was notified of the complaint, and he did provide a written response. And on approximately March 31st, 2022, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 for 2 substantiated violations. Mr. Reardon is here today to discuss the matter with the court.
Okay, Mr. Reardon, how long have you been the administrator at that facility?
I started in April, so I think it was 9 months at that time.
April of 22?
22, yes.
Okay. And you would like to tell us what happened? Were you present whenever the inspection was taken place?
I was not present. The owner was, and she called me midway through it, then at the end of it.
Would you like to explain some of the allegations that caregiver provided documentation and it was false and misleading information?
Yeah. So the owner hired this specific individual. We talked after. She said she verified everything. That's besides the fact. My original thought when all this was occurring is that the 2 employees, because they were friends, they were working together to kind of help one keep a job. I don't have too much details regarding that. That employee and then the second employee that was there during that survey the same day, she left promptly after, left as not working for the company.
Well, so as the manager, you're responsible to see that these folks are properly trained and they have the proper documentation. How did this fall through the crack then?
I trusted the owner a little bit more than I should have, and I relied on her specifically for this individual. She said she vetted, but whatever, not.
Does the owner do all the hiring?
No, no. Just depends on who's available for that, for when the schedule is for it. We take turns on hiring and interviews.
All right. Does any board member have any additional questions of this person?
Did I understand you correctly? You started there in April of 2022?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. And what kind of time do you spend at the facility on a daily basis?
On a daily, so I spend about 12 hours to 20 a week. I typically go in for at least one weekend day and multiple times throughout the week, 2 to 3. And I try to do check to make sure everything is signed. Make sure that the facility is upkept. I have a little list of what I do to make sure that everything looks safe. I need to add some stuff to that list, of course.
Okay, I have a question. Do you work where, when you go into the facility, or do you work also, like, care?
Caring?
And cooking and cleaning?
I do help with cooking, and I do help with some cleaning. When it comes to the care, I do watch over the caregivers, but typically, unless somebody needs help getting up from their chair or bed or the day-to-day care, if it's needed, yes, I will do it. But usually the caregiver doesn't really care about that.
Do you have another, are you hanging your license somewhere else or another job?
I am. I do have two facilities that I'm managing, yes.
You do have another facility managed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Our paperwork said you did not, so.
Would you like me to submit the impact?
Is that new?
It's a newer, yeah. It's been about a month and a half that I've been there.
That would make sense.
Yeah, I'll relatively keep it balanced.
So how many hours did you say you spent at this particular facility?
Between 12 to 20. Okay, so just 15.
So you're not there every day?
Not there every single day, no.
You come in one day on the weekend?
One day on the weekend, and then 2 to 3, depending on my schedule, but usually 2 to 3 weekdays.
Do you actually check the residents that live in the home, or do you just all the paperwork?
I try to do the paperwork, but I do go through the rooms to see if everybody's being taken care of, making sure that they're looking comfortable. I do check on the residents, yes.
If you were a guest, say DHS goes out there this afternoon, mm-hmm. both of your facilities, mm-hmm. if you were to guess, what deficiencies would they find?
The new one that I met, I would say none. I've gone through since this survey. I've fine-combed with everything, and I would say none for either of them.
Pretty confident about that?
Yeah.
All paperwork, you got mm-hmm. fingerprint clearance cards for everybody?
Yep.
Do you check those?
I check those. The CPR, I verify on the NCI or TMU for caregivers, all that, even if the owner... Because we did have a conversation about that, of course, her vetting, and of course me needing to do that even when it's her turn to interview people, but I do check on their
questions. Yeah, Board Member Campbell, thank you for being here. I do have a question about that. So we all have learning experiences. Mm-hmm. You're a relatively new manager.
Yes.
But I guess the thing about this particular incident that concerns me just a little bit is this is a 5-bed facility, is that right?
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be a huge lift to make sure one person has all their paperwork.
Right.
And the reason owners hire managers is to take care of that for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the response, you know, the comment, well, I thought the owner did it. I guess I want to hear you explain why, you know, going forward, regardless of what the owner says, and you still understand that it's your responsibility.
Yeah, I've known the owner for quite a while, so I put my full trust here for that. I thought it would be okay. Clearly not, but since that inspection, I just check everything on my own, on them.
Because only one person in a small facility like that can have a huge impact on the quality of life for residents.
So is the homeowner one of the caregivers? Is she in the home every day? Does she live there?
She is. Yeah. She doesn't live there. She usually works in the morning. I'm trying to remember the schedule. She's typically there from 7 a.m. to 5 or 4. And she does have another staff member there with her, of course, in case she has to run out and get anything.
What's the pleasure of the board on this case? I think some additional education is warranted for this.
I guess I had one other area that I may have been missed, but in the material, again, we have that it states that the manager failed to ensure caregiver provided documentation completion of the program and provided false and misleading information. Mm-hmm. And that, what was that false and misleading information you provided?
So the where we keep the employee files, the employee was giving the wrong one to the DHS surveyor, or because the owner was on the phone and then she was on the way there, but the employee was giving the wrong files. That goes back to the beginning when I mentioned I think they were trying to keep her from getting fired or something, and or she was hiding something, but we weren't sure what it was at that moment, so that's when we got rid of her immediately, of course, with the documentation not being in place.
And so the second item, which was personnel records, was for the same individual.
Yes,
and it was
yes.
Both were, that's why mm-hmm. they repeated it.
Yeah, yeah. And then they both had, the two employees that were primarily working throughout the week, they both had harder to say names to from different countries, so they have their nicknames, so they like to share the same nickname as a joke, but of course that could be used by people.
So the question was, what document was falsified?
It was the employee file. She was giving another employee's file and saying it was hers, when hers was elsewhere in the same area.
So they gave the wrong information, right?
She was, yes.
The information they gave was from a employee chart.
Correct. It was
and the employee chart, even though it was for a different person, did show that they had failed to complete a caregiver training program.
Yes.
Okay, so... Okay, I think I got it.
Can you share what training manager training program did you
go through? I know it was just the living training school.
Okay. And you had been the administrator there for 9 months mm-hmm. at the time of that inspection?
Yes.
And how long have those two employees been employed at that?
The main one that's around all the deficiency, the one that gave the wrong documentation, was 4 months. And the other one, I don't remember specifically. I think she was 6 to 8 months. The one that isn't a topic of interest.
So you'd been the manager there longer than they had been.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so you had not picked up on that as part of your responsibilities as a manager.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
If somebody else handled that, hiring, brought them on board, created the paperwork, you accepted that work that they did without looking at it and verifying it.
Right.
So somebody else is doing your manager's job?
Not just for that specific, not my job. Well
for that specific, what's the job of the manager?
Right. It was just for that one because she's also a manager, I believe. Or another facility, or she hasn't.
This was the owner, in other words.
Yeah, because the owner's been doing it longer than I, so I trusted her with that specific task.
That trust probably wasn't...
Speaking of ownership, do you mind, excuse me, you, so So I actually noticed on the enforcement action from DHS, you signed for that.
For the letter that DHS sent out.
Yeah, for the penalties.
Yes, yes.
You signed off on that for the ownership.
Oh.
I'm asking.
Not that you, well, I signed it, yes. My understanding was any time both the owner and the manager would sign in. It's my first time.
I kind of, and that's why I'm trying to understand. You mentioned ownership a couple times. Mm-hmm. Are you part owner for either this facility or the other one?
No, I do not own this.
Okay. So has the owner granted you authority to sign for the owner?
No. As an owner, no. But my, I thought I would sign that because of my license being attached to all of it.
Your license. I mean,
your
manager's
license, yes.
Manager certificate. Yes. Okay.
That's my first time.
So was the owner involved with this with DHS at all?
Should, yeah. To my knowledge, he was talking with them multiple times.
Okay. Yeah. Do you see what I'm...
No, I understand. I understand.
Okay. Who is the owner?
Caroline Jorg.
What?
Caroline Jorg. NJORG.
Okay.
Is there any further discussion? And I'm prepared to make a motion. Based upon the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of violation ARS 36446073, ARS 44611, AACR 4-33-407A and B1. For unprofessional conduct in complaint number 2023 NCI 1009, involving manager Kim Royce-Bierden, and the board offer a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days or the matter will be forwarded to a formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate, but stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation, that the terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $601.33. 3 hours of continuing education with the executive director's pre-approved, required, and document completion of each of the following areas: service plans, personnel requirements, ethics. And is there any other that any board wishes to add?
No, I think
those. Okay. Other terms, these continuing education hours are in addition to the renewal requirements of R-433-501A2. Any costs of the probation are those of the licensee certificate holder.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we find sufficient evidence for a violation. All those, roll call, please.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
So,
thank you very much.
The board will send you some paperwork.
Thank you.
Can I try pasting this table?
I don't either.
Yeah. Okay.
Moving on to A4, Evelyn Ochoa. Is not here. Okay. Vivian, we'll come back to that. We'll see who's here. Vivian Ruiz. All right. Page number. Okay. Thank you for being here. And you are Vivian?
Yes.
Okay. Bill.
This is complaint 2023-NCI-0233. Licensee is Vivian Ruiz, who is present here today. On January 17, 2023, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at the villa at Tucky Lane, located in Phoenix. Compliance inspection identified 19 deficiencies in 10 different areas. 4 of the deficiencies were VP deficiencies. Ms. Ruiz was provided a notice of complaint, and she did provide a response. It is noted that in her response, she advised that she had only been the manager for approximately 5 months at that facility between approximately October 2022 through March of 2023. And on April 11, 2023, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,500 for 5 substantiated violations. 4 of those were repeat deficiencies, and Ms. Ruiz is here today to discuss the inspection with the board.
Thank you. Okay, so you were there for 3 months before a surveyor came in?
I took my manager October 2022, and then it was ended March 1. So like it's been like
4 or 5 months. Okay.
So the answer is yes.
Okay. Yes.
And so that was, and that, you just became a manager?
I am a manager since 2018.
Oh, since 2000, my bad. Okay. All right. So the things that took you to enforcement were, I see you did an informal dispute resolution with Department of Health Services. Are you the one who wrote that, or did the owner?
It's our record keeping who wrote that.
Record keeping?
Yeah, we reviewed it together.
Okay. And were any of those items changed through the dispute process? Okay. And so, go down to the part. Yes, please.
When you took this new position, did you look at the survey from the year before?
Yes, ma'am.
And did you understand the citations that were already?
Yes, ma'am.
And what did you do to correct those so you didn't have these 4 deficiencies, repeated deficiencies?
Yes, for that repeated deficiencies, there's 2 there. It says here the hot water temperature was beyond, above the normal that's supposed to be. The caregiver explained to me that that morning, one of our residents is requesting, because there's a couple in there sleeping in the facility. The husband is requesting because his wife is taking a shower to have the temperature increase a little because it's like cold. And so caregiver told me that because the inspector came, they forgot to like turn it back. So that's beyond my
So on a monthly basis, do you do the hot water check and you could show that to the surveyor when they came?
Yes, we do. Yeah. And then the toxic materials that were stored in the unlocked area and accessible to the resident, there's one staff there that he's cleaning his car and he forgot to close the garage door at the time that the inspector came in was open. So that's also beyond my control. Though I already told them to be careful every time. If ever they're gonna get something from anywhere, like holding like chemicals or anything, to be responsible for that one. So that's all the under control because it's the staff.
I would like to go back to the question Member Brimhall was asking about the water temperature. And your response said that the residents liked it that way.
No, they didn't like it. They requested that.
They requested
time.
It be
yes,
turned
yeah.
up.
That time. Because the water.
The hot water heater had run out of hot water.
Yeah.
And so. You have to wait. So if the same resident said, hey, I'd like my wife to have
you know, a couple more oxycodone. Are you going to
do that? No, that's different from the medication. For sure.
Is it?
Yeah, it's going to be different from the medication. Because that kind
is the water temperature a rule that we have to follow?
I'm sorry, ma'am?
Is the water temperature also a rule that we have to follow?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
But why do we have to follow that rule? What is the rule? How hot can the water be?
It's between 95 and 100.
100 what?
105.
One what? I'm sorry, I have to get near you.
125.
95
to
125. Close. Okay, it's 120. And why is that rule in place? Because we want our...
To prevent danger from that, for that residence. Yeah. Because too much of hot water can put them in danger. Or everybody is in.
You can burn them, yeah. Right? You can scald them.
Yeah.
So...
That's why it's the staff decision that took place and not mine. That's why when I found out that it was the situation was like that, I talked to the staff about getting to the rules, because it's not going to be them who's going to be put in here. It's going to be me.
Is that something that you discussed during orientation?
I did, yeah. I keep on telling them.
You had to tell them more than once?
No, ma'am. I have to tell them because I have to be there. I have to check it every time I go there. If it's like, I have to check it myself with them, and I have to reiterate it to them that we have to put it in the way that it's supposed to be. Cause.
So what did you write for your plan of correction then?
I'm sorry?
In your plan of correction that went to Department of Health Services, how did you correct that deficiency?
We submitted a daily monitoring so we can monitor the water temperature.
So somebody's doing that daily?
Yes, as far as I know, because I'm not a manager there right now, so I don't know if they're following right now.
Okay. So you're no longer the manager there?
Yeah, I'm no longer the manager.
But you're a manager someplace else?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. So do you have that in place for
yes.
the other place that you manage?
Yeah.
Okay. Another biggie is the two bedbound residents did not have that 90-day determination prior to being accepted into the facility.
Yeah, I think in this incident, it was signed by a nurse for the hospice.
And who got that signature?
I'm sorry?
Who's the one who asked for that signature?
It was our record keeper of the facility.
Okay, is the record keeper a manager?
He's a manager designee.
Is a designee. Okay. And does it?
And we corrected it. We sent it to the hospital to the doctor to sign it.
And so, was it who? I guess I'm still confused. This comes back to maybe people not being properly oriented to their job. If they're going to be a designee and work when you're not there. If you didn't tell them that has to be signed by a doctor or a medical practitioner, not just a nurse, I'm worried that they're not getting proper information. did you believe that it's okay to be signed by a nurse? Well, is that what your understanding was at the time?
For me, because usually when you go to hospice, the nurse comes for the assessment. Mm-hmm. And then they usually like get the papers from us and have their doctor sign for it. I think that time when the nurse signed it, they failed to give it to the medical doctor to sign it. So like it was left like that.
And whose job would it be to follow up on that?
It was the manager.
Which is?
Or the manager, that's me, which is me.
Not the designee.
Yes, me.
You.
Okay.
So when you take over a new facility, what kind of quality checks do you make to make sure you know what kind of facility you just took over, you have responsibility for. What do you do?
Well, the first thing that I'm looking at, if I apply or I'm get somebody gets me as a manager, I go to the place, look over the place, get the paper, the policies and procedures, get to know the residents, do their conditions. I look over the previous citations and work on it.
So you'd overlook the citations again that might have been made in the past before you got there?
Yes, sir.
Did you do that in this case?
I did, sir. It's just that in this case, some of it, it's not my, well, because as a manager, it's my responsibility. I know that. But there will be times that it's beyond my decision because the staff there that are working, they're the one who is deciding that day. So that day when the inspector came, they made a decision, not mine, so I have to face it now. And I understand because this is my life, this is my responsibility as a manager, and I'm taking it.
So you noticed that there were 4 deficiencies and didn't do anything about those.
No, these 4 repeat deficiencies that you were saying, the deficiency that was found February 2022, I was not the manager that time. So, but I was the manager. This is the facility's repeated citation, but this is my first one when I was managing the place.
And when you managed it, tell me how many hours a week you spend there.
I spend 3 to 4 days. And 3 to 4 days a week there.
Three to four days a week.
And then as necessary, when they need me, they can call me anytime. I'm just like 15 minutes away in the place, so I can just come anytime they need me.
So when you say 3 to 4 days, how many hours a day do you spend there?
Like 5 hours to 6 hours a day, sir. Or as much as needed. If the resident of, there is still some things that needs to be done that day.
Because the material I received said you spent between 8 and 12 hours a day, or 12 hours a week.
Yeah, that's I.
So 5 days.
Yeah, when the inspector interviewed me, I said.
That's an hour or two a day, maybe, or 8 hours in one day and then nothing for the next 5 days, or.
No, because I'm managing another place. So if I'm not in that place, I'm just on the other, facility. So when the inspector came and interviewed me that day, she asked me to how many days or how many hours did you come here. I told her it's 2 to 4 times a week. So I don't know which.
3 to 4 times a week you come to the facility. You have a manager designee.
Yes, sir.
And you just deferred to the manager designee to do a good job because she's been there a while.
It's not the case because I'm helping out too when I go to the place.
So are you working, providing care and cooking and cleaning also?
Well, not in that place. I do work as a caregiver and as an assistant living with facility manager in the other place. So I do much patient care to not in that place, not in this place.
So do you like do the food ordering at that home?
In this home we do cook it.
But who does like the food, ordering the groceries and supplies?
For the groceries, it's the staff who's doing the groceries and it's the owner who's buying the things that they need.
So what if the menu is posted and it's not followed through, because like the food, so that's another thing. We had another issue with the food temperatures of the refrigerator.
46 degrees.
I think that time, because it was like morning, it's in the morning because I was there. So I think they're taking their breakfast, so they... For sure, in the morning time, there's too busy, they keep on, when you get food to cook, you keep on just opening the fridge, so probably that's the cause of...
And did you have a log also for your refrigerator and for your freezer?
Yes, ma'am.
And you've been a manager how long?
Since 2019 then.
But indeed,
yes. Okay.
I'm definitely good with some education.
Madam Chair, can I ask Bill a quick question?
Please? Yeah.
Phil, this, do you know if the previous action on file, if any of the violations or any of the facts were similar to what's alleged here?
No, I don't think they were.
Okay. Thank you.
Was good? Any questions? All right, I'm prepared to make a motion. Based upon the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of violation ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44611, AACR 4-33-407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 2023-20233 involving manager Vivian Mary Ruida Ruiz, and the board offers consent agreement to be signed within 10 days or the matter will be forwarded to a formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of certificate, the stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation of all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $536.18. 3 hours of continuing education with the executive director's pre-approval required and document completion in each of the following areas. Medication management, environmental standards, residence rights, and all of these are in addition to the regular continuing education hours for your renewal requirements of R4-33-501A2. Any costs of the probation are those of the certificate holder.
I second.
Roll call.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. You'll receive a letter in the mail with everything. Everybody good? Next up we have Jania Alka-Yufi. I'm sorry, I...
Page 342.
I'll let you say your name again once you sit down. Since I butchered it so badly. What is your name, please?
First name is Jania. Last name is Alka-Yufi.
Alka-Yufi was pretty close. Not too bad. Okay. Thank you. Bill.
Yeah, this is complaint 2023-NCI-0236. This is Jania Alka-Yufi, who's present here today. And on February 28, 2023, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Hearts and Flowers Assisted Living Home located in Chandler. The compliance inspector identified 14 deficiencies in 9 different areas. Ms. Alka.
Jania
was noticed of the complaint. She did provide a written response. It was on approximately April 11th of 2023 when DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $750 for 2 substantiated violations. And Jania is here today to discuss the matter with the board.
Thank you. Is this a house?
Yes.
License for how many?
5.
5.
So this was your venture into owning your own business, I understand.
Yes.
And you found it fairly challenging?
The people were, after all of this.
And
yes.
You're a nurse, correct?
Yes.
What nurse level are you? RN or LPN?
I'm a registered nurse.
Registered nurse. Okay. So what prompted you to want to get into the business?
I've been a nurse for like 12 years, and I've always told myself, even before the group home business, that I wanted to have a business. But since I am a nurse, I figured my least likely of being a failure is to go through like the medical field at the same time, because I know already the patients, how to take care of them, like the geriatrics and the nursing part, rather than any other businesses. And plus, I like the geriatrics.
So you bought an existing business, or you started one from scratch?
So this was an existing.
I guess I'm concerned that there was a comment that you made to DHS that you admitted you were not able to keep up with the compliance and the guidelines because you had an existing nursing job at night and also some family responsibilities, and then you took on this new business, and you know, you had three balls in the air and time for two of them. How do you resolve that?
Well, I'm divorcing. I have two kids, which is like 100% of their time. So on some days I have them, but at the same time I have to be a nursing job full time, because I have to keep that what the way I was existing business, I think 50%. And then the rest of the 50% I have to pay through the income of the group home. So I have to stay full time and then have the income from the group home pay the previous seller, the owner. That's how it is. So I end up keeping the full time and then the business. But then the plan is, if I get that paid off already, then I would, you know, focus on the business and all that.
So you aren't making money now because you're having to pay off the owner that you bought the home from.
Mm-hmm. And
working that through, and that's helping. Does that cramp your style and what kind of resources you can put into the home?
Everything is intact already in the group home. I have the caregivers there. And also, plus when I actually got the business, there was only four residents. So I wasn't really making money from the group home. So that's why I have to keep up with my nursing job and at the same time be able to pay the previous seller. And then when I got the fourth resident, the surveyor came February 28th. And I think I just got my fourth resident on the 22nd of that month. So I was actually putting out financial resources still at that time. So I'm doing my full time. And then,
so apparently what you're telling me, when you have five residents, you're doing fine. When you have four residents, it's kind of break even. And
yeah,
if you have three residents, you're in big trouble.
Yes, because at that time I had actually three residents until like February. So I was actually just breaking even to keep the business afloat, the assisted living, and then, you know, do my personal expenses through my full-time job.
Are you doing the hands-on caregiving or some of it?
When one is off or I don't have a receiver that I find, then I do the hands-on. And then I do the groceries, and then I do the paperwork. Now I do the paperwork. All that time I do the paperwork, and I do the paperwork now.
And a lot of these are clerical paperwork kind of issues, which...
Yeah. On the service plans, actually, like the updated one, it was... All of my patient service plans were actually on the table on the side. That's why I had one of my service plans there that was signed in February, because I did all of them for the three, because the fourth one is already at it. It's like right there, but they were not signed because I have one of the residents.
They were not signed by whom?
By the POA. But everything is there updated.
Okay.
It's just that they were not signed because one is out of state, one is like not yet visiting the house. So, there's one POA that visits the house, so I was able to make the signature with the signature, that, so that one is okay. And then the other ones is like the lockbox in the medication fridge. We actually have a lock, we found it that same day. And then the toxicology book, I guess I misinterpreted when I read the update for the DHS rules about the the newspapers that you can take them out. So I took out the book, but the book was actually just in the garage. But I had a lot of them because I bought some furniture, so I know I will not have time to find it that day when the surveyor was there. But it was there, because after the surveyor left, I went to the garage and I found it there.
Can you talk a little bit about the fingerprint cards? That would be sort of a hot topic for...
So the fingerprint card for my two caregivers, the other one, well, the fingerprint cards, they have a fingerprint card. It's the verification that they question. So the other one, the caregiver, she's been there since 2016. She has the verification. But I didn't know that, you know, coming onto a new management, I have to go to the internet and get a new verification.
So did you change the business?
Yeah, I have my own LLC.
Okay, so you changed the business, meaning they had to be rehired into your business, right?
Well, okay. Yeah, I understood that. After that, okay, and so
they were existing employees of the previous business, and that manager had done everything, I presume.
Yeah.
And so you hadn't yet.
Yeah, I
did not. Done all of the verifying.
Yeah, I did not.
But they have fingerprint cards.
Yes, they do have fingerprint cards.
And since then, have you?
Oh yes.
You've done all of that.
Oh yes. It's part of the POCs. So when I did the POCs, I acknowledged that what I'm missing and what is being the part that I'm mistaken. Me doing the POCs, I did not do any disputes of all of the citations because I acknowledged them and it's true. So.
You did say that you learned a lot, and I can appreciate that's a pretty sharp learning curve. So what did you do when you first took over the business? What was your first thing that you felt you should do?
Because when I came to the IMS, I kind of actually focused on the back part of it, like the direct patient care. Now, after all the citations, I kind of understood that you guys look a lot on the paperwork, service plan, medication administration.
Go ahead, Peter.
To that point, Madam Vice President, so on the patient care, so it's a relatively... a small facility, which I realize sometimes creates some challenges, but one of the deficiencies, number 9, is that one of the residents had stage 3 and 4 pressure sores. So if you're focusing on care rather than administrative requirements, how did that happen?
When I come on board, the patient already has a wound, pressure ulcer wound.
Okay.
So I bought the business in August, but that patient is already there. With the wound, the present wound pressure ulcer.
But they inspected in February, so for 4 months you didn't address the pressure wound?
There is a home care. The pressure wound there, I think it talks about the certificate, the skills. It didn't talk about like how you took care of the wound itself. It's the paperwork, because I guess my caregivers doesn't have the certificate paper saying that they are trained for the wound care. So that is actually the citation for that. But as far as the wound, it is taken care of because it has its own home health that comes every day to the dressing and to the ointment.
Maybe I can clarify. So when that person existed in the business when you took over, was the predetermination 90 days prior to that person's movement, was that a document that was in that person's file?
Yes, actually.
Saying that they could be received with level stage 3 and 4 pressure wounds and the doctor approved for them to be there.
Yes.
So was the citation then you didn't get that reapproved when you took over the business?
So the citation, it says that I need that pre-admission doctor's order because It has it when the patient was admitted back in 2021.
But it didn't have it when you switched to your business.
Yes, it didn't. And then number one, I think it says there was an X that says the patient didn't have like a pressure or something. I think the one in the checkbox is not correct. So the surveyor told me, and since I do the new management, I have to do another one. But that one is already corrected. I submitted in the new form and the deal is signed.
At Member Hill, I don't know if that answers your question. In that the citation was written because she didn't have the new form signed by the doctor for her new business.
I think she was asking about the care of the patient.
But I think it's, so when you have a MARS, you have a medical sheet that you check off every day for the medications. And when you're doing treatment, you should have a TARP. You should have a treatment sheet for your treatment checking off each day. And I think that's where, from interpreting, you did not have that in place of who did the treatment, who checked it each day or each shift or whatever the doctor's order.
I think as far as the order, so we did not clarify that. But I think that the surveyor was talking about, I think she did look for a signing or a sign out saying that whenever a home health goes there, that they have to, because she explained to me, like Pat explained to me, that I have to have a form signing what was done, treatment.
Oh, your visit assessment each time that a hospice person or any agency comes into your home. You should have a notebook for them, and that's what she's asking.
Yes.
Do you have that now?
Yes, I do have the signing sign on form already.
How many months, I guess, were you the owner before the survey actually occurred?
3 months.
3 months.
Yeah.
But you had three residents.
Yes.
And as a nurse, did you get actively involved in checking the conditions of each and every resident?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
haven't been. So you were well aware of all the issues, at least medically.
Yes.
And then did you, what did you do in terms of the, I guess it, I would call it paperwork compliance, the quality assurance items? You worked in a hospital. You're familiar with quality assurance pretty well, I suspect. Explain to me the kind of program you have in place at your home.
So right now I do have a quality management tracker and all of like this is a disaster drill, water log, filter, what else, like pest control. I have it all in the Bible already.
You have it now, but you didn't have it at the inspection?
No.
No. Work in progress.
Oh, good work.
Yeah, Madam Vice President, so you said you took over in August. The inspection was late February, so you'd had the facility for at least 6 months. September to end.
Yeah.
And are you able to take care of this resident with 9 pressure sores?
Yeah, I go there and then I check the patient whenever the home health is there. Mm-hmm. And I go like, because I want to see the whole house, the whole building.
Okay. And are you still working full time as a nurse?
No, not anymore.
Okay.
I'm just doing that.
Okay.
And if I need to, more hours.
I'm going to do a motion.
Go for it.
I'm going to do a motion to give her a letter of concern. I think that with the recommendation of the board, I think that she's already demonstrated to us the personal requirements. So to me, it's like she could probably teach the class now.
And what would your like letter of concern be about?
It would
paperwork is paperwork.
I would say personal, the documentation of personal requirements. Personnel.
Failure to maintain
personnel.
Documentation
of personnel.
It would files?
Or just documentations. Yeah. Personnel requirements.
Yeah.
Right. Well, my second.
This sounds good.
Okay.
What about resident care?
Does the board want to restrict it to, and this kind of goes on, personal requirements only, or a more broader failure to maintain required records in the facility? I don't think that covers what.
Okay.
All that covers?
Say all documentation required for the home that is required by Department of Health Services.
As a new owner or something, just to indicate that.
Right. It's just a new owner, yes.
There are some pretty big gaps here. She's also quite new, so.
But I think every item she definitely covered, and she definitely shared, and she definitely home, said what she did.
Home health was on board. It just wasn't documented. And so I think the whole documentation piece is what is missing.
Do we have a second to that?
What you learned. And what's the second?
I seconded it.
Oh, sorry.
Member Campbell seconded. Roll call, please.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
No.
Member Hill?
No.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Madam Vice Chair, Madam Vice President, members of the board, I just want to clarify the intent of that letter of concern. Did we end up with failure to maintain
required document
on the broader kind of
required document? Yes.
That was okay. Thank you.
Yes, that's it.
Okay. Thank you.
Entertain a 5-minute break, or we can keep going.
Yes.
5 minutes,
10 minutes.
Where are you going next?
That was
number 7. Yes.
Is number 7 here?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't have number 7 signed in.
Oh.
But that's where I'm gonna go down the list, and whoever's here, we're gonna hear, and whoever. Yeah. Left over at the end, we'll vote for the consensus amendment to go forward, except for the three that are postponed. And then we'll be done. No, I'll be done. You'll have more to do.
Licensee is Dora Matubi, who is present here today. And on December 8th, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Dora Caring, located in Casa Grande. The compliance inspection, as well as the complaint investigation, identified 20 deficiencies in 10 different areas. 3 of the deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. Ms. Matubi was noticed of the complaint. She did provide a written response. And on approximately May 15, 2023, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $2,250 for 5 substantiated violations. 3 of those violations were repeat deficiencies. And Ms. Matubi is here today to discuss the inspections with the board.
Thank you. This is a home?
Yes, it's a
license for how many?
For 5.
5, okay. So one of the citations is about having policy and procedure for discarding medication.
Yes.
Were you there the previous time that that was cited?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
Yes. And the reason why it's coming like I said, I did it. When the inspector, when we inspect, I was at my sister teaching. I'm an instructor. So before I arrived there, they had already started, you know, the deficiencies, but they didn't see the correction. So they went back to 2021. So that's why that deficiency was there. They went back to 2021 because they couldn't see the plan of corrections where it was. So when I went, they, I showed them the file. There were a gentleman and a female. And then they told us, oh, we are already done. Because I brought from Montpisa all the way to Casandra, and we are done, so you can submit it as the correction because we didn't see it. And the caregiver who was there didn't know where the files were. He just handed over to them. So they were dealing with the previous, some of the deficiencies.
And so did they look again at, you have your policy and procedures in one place?
Yes.
And so the plan of correction part wasn't put in the place where all the other policy and procedures were?
No, it was one folder. So the caregiver couldn't provide it to them on time. Yes.
Okay.
So
and what did you do after that?
I passed them to them with the correction of the deficiency, plan of care. I passed them to them.
And so the correction part, was that an updated
yes.
policy and procedure?
Yes, because I even called Kanji and I told her there are some things they did cite me and I can't go back and force by. If you do a 2020 or 2021, because they told me we can't see, the ones we see is deficiencies from 2021. I said I can't go back.
And they said you couldn't put a revised policy and procedure into your embedded into your policy and procedures? You couldn't revise it? That's not...
No. What I'm trying to say, some of the deficiencies they gave me, mm-hmm. they had already given me. I had already submitted the plan of correction. But then the paperwork
uh-huh.
wasn't available for them right away to look at it and say, this deficiency was corrected.
And so what I'm asking you, and maybe we're just going down a different path, but... You didn't have the policy and procedure at the other survey about how to dispose of medication.
Yes.
You got cited.
Yes.
In your plan of correction, you wrote or came up with a new policy and procedure for disposing medication.
Yes.
And that is in a separate folder, not in your policy and procedures.
Yes.
Why isn't it in your policy and procedures?
Because my policy and procedure, the whole one is a book.
Okay.
And then, yes, it's a book. And then the other policies, the ones which are meant, they are on our folder.
Okay.
Yes. So the only thing I can do right now, I have discussed it with IT, is to go to the computer and make another book.
Oh, their book, is it bound? Like,
yes, it's bound.
Tape it in or tape it on the front?
Bound, everything with a log on.
But you have it?
I have, yes.
Okay.
And I submitted it.
Part one.
Yes.
Disaster drills. That was another repeat.
Yes.
And why did that happen?
It's the same thing. We are done it, but they were in the folder.
So your ongoing... So the person who was there as your designee did not know
did
where to find
it? Did not know where those folders are. And then we can even go back and found it's a caregiver who I brought her from a company, the ones they send you every day, who was coming there. I showed her the folders are here, this is here. But when the state came,
she freaked out.
Exactly.
That happens.
Thank you, Madam Vice President. So Ms. Matubi, it is... If you have a book where your policies and procedures sit, but you've updated them after the last survey,
yes.
but your staff doesn't know where the new policies and procedures are,
okay.
so, isn't that the same as not having them? Shouldn't okay. they all be together where your staff can find
them? That's what I'm saying. The folder is a folder. and it was there. So when she went, police and procedure, they are all there with employees files, police and procedure. When she was asked for police and procedure, she just took the book and gave it to them.
Understood.
And then, yes, and yeah. then left the file there.
Right, so that's how the inspector didn't realize you had any policies
yes.
and procedures. Mm-hmm. But they exist for a reason, which is so that your staff can use them.
Yes.
So if your staff didn't know about the folder, then they weren't using the policies and procedures, right? Or they were. And how would they know that they're the policies and procedures if they're in a folder they can't find?
I can say if she, that's why I say she panicked. That's okay. how I assumed, because all of them were there. She panicked and just bought the book, and didn't give them the folder. When they come out or yeah. tell them, this is the police and procedure, this is where they are.
Okay.
So maybe she, that's what happened, I can't say, because she told me, I thought I gave her everything, and you know, I forgot about the folder.
So let me help me understand this.
Yes.
So you're saying that all these were all in the book and in the folder, but yet you got the enforcement form and you paid the $2,500 and you didn't do an IDR to Department of Health Services and you paid the fine. You didn't rebuttal any of these citations with the Department of Health Services.
I tried because I called them and I said, look here, some of these deficiencies you guys have cited me. There are deficiencies which have already been corrected.
But who paid the $2,500?
Who gave them?
Who paid them?
I haven't paid them yet. Because, and that's another thing, then all of a sudden again, they cited, I got another citation, and they said, oh, this is a case of the same thing, of the caregiver didn't have the same paper, didn't have that paperwork. So it was, if you look at my case, it's complicated. They came on December. They responded to me on March.
Did you do an ID, what, IDR with the Department of Health Services?
Yes.
Did you submit it to our board to notify us?
Yes.
Do we have one?
I did not see
that. Yeah.
Oh.
I was going to say, Madam Vice President, there are a lot of deficiencies in both this survey and the last one.
Yes.
Three of them are repeats, but there's about a dozen more that are fresh, if you will. I think staff is suggesting that the licensee simply retake the manager training. And so, you know, at the pleasure of the board, I think that's a good recommendation. And
how long have you been a manager?
For 5 years.
My house has been a mess for 2 years.
But the last 2 years.
Okay.
There have been repeat deficiencies.
Yeah.
Do you own these? Do you own this facility?
Yes, the facility is.
You do own it.
I own the facility.
You do not.
Yes, I do.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
How many hours do you spend there?
I work in ICU and I'm also an instructor, but I sleep there almost every day. I'm the one who cooks for them.
Okay.
Yes. So every day I'm there, but I'm there and they leave. I'm the one who sleeps there and I'm the one who cooks for them and I'm the one who makes sure that before I leave the breakfast is okay.
So it's your home as well.
It's my
as,
home, yes.
And you're there every day, it sounds like, because you cook what?
Yes.
Breakfast,
yes.
Lunch and dinner or snacks or what?
I cook breakfast, I prepare breakfast, and I make sure that everything is ready for them just to warm up, because we don't order things.
And yet,
yes.
being present all the time, the manager and the owner, you've got just boatloads of citations. It tells me you aren't really observing what your responsibilities are as a manager. How long has the manager designee been there?
The one was there, not more than 2 weeks.
Who's that, Kim?
Yeah.
Kim, manager designee that couldn't find the paperwork, had only been there 2 weeks?
That day there was a caregiver who was there. I'm the manager. It's like when they went to surveillance, there was the caregiver was there. And she had been there only 3 days.
So there was a caregiver there, there was no manager designated.
I'm the one, when they called me, I went there. I'm the one who manages the program. Yes.
Are you ready to make the motion? Member Hill?
Well, now I think we need stronger action than what I just said. I don't know. May I ask the Seamus a quick question?
Wait, I think you might want to finish up that question. It sounded like it was going somewhere, and that's what you were getting at.
Well, I guess, Madam Vice President, I'm wondering if you even have the full capacity to manage this care home. I mean, you're working two jobs. You have repeat surveys with a very long list of violations twice. Why do you want to continue being a manager when things aren't going well? What would be the reason why the state should say, we trust you to take care of all these people, when you're seldom there and you're struggling to keep up the state requirements?
It's because someone, you see, I'm working, not that the paperwork, some of the paperwork was not there. It was there, it was not that, it was not handed there. And then when it comes to my residents, I got 4 residents there. 3 of them have been there for the last 5 years. It's like they are home, I take care of them. Some they don't even have where to go. There was like a divisions, like the paperwork is not signed. It's because I can't get any family member to sign for them.
What happens if you're not there to cook a meal? Who cooks the meal?
The caregiver can cook the meal. I was trying to explain the duties I do there. The caregiver can cook the meals. Yes.
So, does your caregiver that's there speak fluent English?
Yes.
And read and write English?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to say that's your chosen profession, and that's how you make your living, in response to Board Member Hill's question.
I'll repeat again, what?
She asked you why you want to continue in this profession, why you want to be a manager. I thought you were going to say something, in fact, it's my chosen profession, that's how I make a living.
Yes,
but I didn't really hear that.
Because I wasn't done.
Okay.
I've opened the group home because I like it. I like the work. I like taking care of people. I've been a nurse for about 5 years. I teach. I also work. So it's not much of like I'm making money out of it.
Can I ask you what you teach?
Yes. I've taught GCU. Now I'm teaching Central Arizona College.
What type of, are you teaching nursing?
Yes, I'm taking nursing. Nursing, yes.
Okay, so you're a nurse?
Yes, I'm a nurse. I've been a nurse for about 5 years. So it's more like, to me, I know there are deficiencies. I know.
And is that okay?
Some, I can't say they're okay. Because if I'm late with the documentation, it's okay. But if something like policy and procedures, I've already corrected them, and the file was there, and then I wasn't, before I reached there, they were not handed the file, that I can say it's not okay.
So, Madam Vice President, I guess the last thing I'll say about this is there are tiers of responsibility under the law and under the rules. So someone can own a facility, but they can have a manager. And the manager accepts fundamental responsibility for that place and the residents. But you're seldom there, and you don't appear to have strong policies and procedures in place to make sure your responsibilities as a manager are met when you're not there, which is often. So there seems to be a question as to the utility of you even being a manager and having a manager's license. So I don't know that was a question necessarily, as it was a statement, Madam Vice President.
Yeah, and I mean, paperwork is part of it, but I think, as was pointed out, there are lots of other things that are not repeat deficiencies that have not, I mean, hopefully now they've been corrected. You had somebody who did not have a caregiver certificate.
But all my deficiencies are corrected and they were accepted.
Yes, but they're corrected now, but what we're looking at is why did they happen again? You've been there for a couple of years. So I would be comfortable with the recommendation at least, because otherwise we're looking
at least, yes.
I mean, if you would like to make a different motion, go ahead. Otherwise, I will make this motion.
It's really very tough for me today to sit here and decide either or. I'm just looking at today to say what's changed from the last couple of years to today of all these other responsibilities she's doing.
Mm-hmm. And I don't hear that anything's going to fundamentally change.
And as much as I can appreciate the nursing aspect, and I would hopefully trust that day to day when you are there, the residents are cared for, I appreciate that, but unfortunately we still have a whole bunch of other stuff that is mandatory that has to be done, and it's not getting done. So, you may speak.
Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36446.07B3, ARS 44611, AAC R4-33-407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct, and the complaint number NCI 0268 involving the manager Dora Mutubi. And the board. I think I just jumped down to voluntary surrender of license.
Or offer a consent agreement.
Yeah, offer a consent agreement.
I don't want a consent agreement.
Well, that has to be.
She has to sign.
It has to. She doesn't.
Oh.
She doesn't have to revoke.
Yeah. Consent agreement to be signed within
10 days,
or the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions.
It would be voluntary
surrender of license and or certificate in this case.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Yes. Okay. Roll call, please.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
No.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Receiving some information from the board, they'll mail it out.
So the board has voted to offer you a consent agreement for surrender of your manager certificate. So it's an offer. We'll send you that paperwork within the next week to 10 days. If you have questions, give me a call. We go from there.
So does that mean that I have to look for another manager for the school?
It's an off. Nothing changes with the status of your manager certificate until you decide whether or not. If you sign that consent agreement, then yes, you would have to look for somebody. If you decide not to sign it, then the matter would proceed through our review process. But as far as those decisions for future business, this board is not involved with those.
And if because I need to understand it well, if I decide not to sign, then I have to provide them more paperwork?
No. Mm-hmm. No, it's not something we're going to be able to, I'm not going to be able to answer all your questions okay. Right here today. You're going to have to take a look at that consent, determine whether or not you want to sign it, and then that's going to start the answers for all of your questions. Okay? Thank you for appearing today.
Thank you. Okay, next up we have Kelly Motes. Kelly Motes, there.
Okay, the number of her.
I don't know.
653.
Correct.
How do you find that out?
Well, when I do my study, then I write my notes on my page and then my questions.
That's the only one I didn't write down. Hello, are you Kelly?
Yes.
Moat? Yes.
Yeah.
All right, Phil.
Okay, this is complaint 2023-NCI-0274. Licensee is Kelly Moats, who's present here today. On April 17th, 2023, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection as well as one complaint investigation at Robson Reserve at Pebble Creek, located in Goodyear. Compliance inspection and complaint investigation identified 7 deficiencies in 5 different areas. One of the deficiencies was a repeat deficiency. Ms. Moats was noticed of this complaint, and she did provide staff with a written response. On approximately May 15, 2023, DHS took enforcement action, imposed a civil money penalty of $500 for 1 substantiated repeat violation. And Ms. Moats is here today to discuss the complaint investigation and compliance inspection report.
Thank you. And this is a center or a house?
It's a facility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all facilities. It's a center.
Correct.
It's a center. Mm-hmm. And how many beds?
95.
Mm-hmm. And at this time of the survey and incident, how many?
It was about 75.
And how long have you been the manager there?
Since October of 2020.
Okay, so 7 years. Are you still there?
I am.
Okay. So the primary issue that was taken to enforcement is a repeat on failure to ensure that if an accident results in a resident needing medical services, the caregiver documents the names of whomever observed the incident, so the witnesses, presumably. And can you explain a little bit about how or what happened?
Yeah, so it was our incident reporting, so it just wasn't specified the exact names of the caregivers or the nurses that attended to the incident. It was just more caregiver responded type of thing. So, and they were looking for specific names of the individuals.
What was the incident?
It was a resident that was found deceased in her apartment.
So that same type of incident, if I'm correct here, and correct me if I'm not, occurred in 2020, occurred in 2021, and occurred again in 2023.
So I think the one that you guys are asking for there is the finding of chemicals in the building. That was the repeat deficiency.
One of the repeats, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, one of the repeats was that on your incident reporting, the names were not stated as the caregiver who witnessed or found or observed whatever the incident was. It was simply caregiver, right? And so, and apparently DHS doesn't like that. So I guess my question would be then, if there is something that is more than an incident report that needs follow-up, is there a second document trail of, like, in the investigative process of where things happened or went wrong? Would that include, is there something secondary if something's investigated, and does that document include names?
It would be a progress note on our system. So again, that was addressed after this citation, is that we do need to use specific names in the documentation.
Okay. And that had been an issue a couple of years?
No, that was the first time in this 2023 survey. Yeah.
I'm sorry, if I can jump in here.
Yeah.
There's a typo there. That was not a repeat. You know, that repeat was the top. Was the toxic.
Okay. That's
my time. So I'll get with that and take care of that.
You do that. We're going to give you a citation. Clerical error. Okay.
That's the only one that's
really so the chemicals are the repeat deficiency. Let's talk about that.
Sure.
Explain that.
Yeah. So just, I guess, jumping to 2020, I believe it was. It was kind of in the height of COVID. We had some COVID Clorox wipes in our gym area that we were cited for. So we removed those, of course, cleared that up. The next year, it was a multi-purpose cleanser down in our closed door break room underneath the sink. So that was removed. We put a keypad lock on our break room so no one's able to access that area. This past year, it was a lease space from an outside provider, and there was a key left in the door by their staff, so there was access to chemicals behind that door. And since then, of course, now it's just a key fob access, and then we also have a keypad lock on the second door in that office. So two layers of protection there.
And do you do quality indicators, like quality assurance meeting on a monthly basis, quarterly basis,
and that's
one of the topics, so you can get your threshold up hopefully 100%?
Correct. So we do monthly quality management meetings. We also do weekly community audits at the management team at our community.
And then you swap them all out, so there's different assessors checking.
Yes, that we rotate.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to do a motion that we dismiss this. I think that... she definitely justified 2021, 2022, and the issue here is just the chemical.
That's the only issue, the one to enforcement.
That's the only one to enforcement. There were several citations.
I don't know if that wasn't the full motion.
That was my...
So was there further discussion then? Or that was a motion?
That was a motion.
Okay.
You're saying?
I'll wait for the second if someone's okay. I'll dismiss that motion. The motion fails for lack of a second. Continue the discussion, please.
Just one quick question, Madam Vice President. So there is a citation regarding food storage. Explain just, you know, briefly, like, what is quality control like in the kitchen, and how do you approach ensuring that residents have not just safe meals, but palatable meals? I mean, uncovered meat in the freezer may or may not be safe, but I'm sure it doesn't taste very good once you get around to cooking it. So can you talk about that?
Yeah, so we do have an outside, we're contracted with a company that runs our kitchen. And so they did fail to do their closing the night before our survey. So they did do an in-service with their team, review all of their closing procedures as far as, you know, wrapping up foods and such, and signed off on that in-service.
And are you checking that?
Yes, we do. On our weekly walks of the community, the kitchen is a big area that we target. Mm-hmm.
And you do have probably a registered dietitian that comes in and does an audit also of the kitchen and menus and everything else.
Yes, the kitchen gets audited, and we actually have kind of like a mock survey for the kitchen set up for the end of this month, kind of a surprise survey for them to make sure that we're on target.
Another one about the incident reporting was that the resident's primary care provider was not noted,
mm-hmm.
was not notified
mm-hmm.
for an incident where somebody needed medical services.
So that was related to the same incident that I mentioned before about a resident that was found deceased in her apartment. It was a busy afternoon, I will say that, just with responding to police officers, investigators, reaching out to the family, supporting the team. The notification to the doctor was made the following morning.
Okay. Do you want to make your motion?
I have a question. What about the residency agreements when you take in a new resident?
Yes, so that's been fixed as well. There was a little issue with the dates there, but to meet the regulation, we have them sign that residency agreement at the time of their contract signing. So they're acknowledging that actually prior to their physical move-in date.
January 1st or 2nd inspection?
I think it's 2nd, correct, 2nd.
Mm-hmm. You mean for the facility or for her?
The facility.
For her, for the facility.
Oh, that would be 3. Yeah.
The third.
Mm-hmm. And how about for you as this manager?
Yeah, because she's been with them since 2020, she
right.
said.
Right.
So you're a new manager, right?
Correct.
You just certified in 2020.
Mm-hmm. And the medicines are stored in a separate lock cabinet now?
Yes, and that goes back to that leased doctor space. There was also medications there. So again, we've added the key fob access, the keypad lock, so it's under double secured locks. And that provider is actually no longer with us in our community.
Do you feel like management training prepared you to be a manager?
I do, yeah.
And you guys are owned by a corporation that has other resources and probably quarterly meetings and educationals.
Yes, yeah. And we have a lot of corporate support currently in our community, coming out, also doing audits. So yes, roped in, we have a lot of support.
Do you do the hiring as manager?
For the caregivers, yes.
NCI-0274 against manager Kelly Moats.
I'm
the
second.
Roll call, please.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
No.
Member Stephen?
No.
Member Hill?
No.
Member Cook?
No.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Motion does not pass.
All right. Well, somebody who didn't vote for this, put another motion up there for us, please.
Madam Vice President, does this motion sheet include an option for letter of concern?
Sure.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Just down the way.
Motion to issue a letter of concern and okay. State what your concern would be.
It's the third or fourth down here. It's right in the middle of that sheet.
Okay, thank you. Do I start with based on the information or I just go to the middle?
No, just go to okay. I move.
All right, thank you. I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation in complaint number 2023 NCI-0274 against manager Kelly Moats, but issue a letter of concern. The board's concern is ensuring ongoing compliance with the survey on scroll candidate. April 17th, 2023. So that if we do see a repeat deficiencies, there's already a letter on file.
So failure to insure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Second.
You second?
Sure.
Okay. Member Hill?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Madam Vice President, I apologize for doing this a lot, but I just want to make sure I clarify the intent of that letter of concern. The concern is everything that was identified on that survey, or just what the enforcement action was for toxic materials were stored in an online locked area?
Everything in the survey. I mean, if what we have here is a new manager who has proven that she's developing professionally and is earnestly attempting to provide good care and comply with the law and the regulations, but you know, who's had a couple of interesting surveys, and so there should be a letter in the file just in case.
So all seven of the citations out of the DHS survey?
Yes.
Okay,
if that's what you're asking.
And that was...
I agree with that. Absolutely.
Thank you. I just wanted to clarify. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Just on the date of the survey, April 17th, 2023.
Yep. Thank you.
As I get a bite in... Okay. Mm-hmm. Is Antonio Camillo present? Antonio? Sign in. Fahad Jamani? About Mary Elizabeth Miser. Ah. Here's the next question. And I have... Page 798.
Okay. Thank you for being here. Bill. Sure. This is complaint 2023-NCI-0288. Licensee is Mary Elizabeth Miser, who is present here today. On April 13, 2023, DHS conducted an assisted living facility complaint investigation at Woodland Palms, located in Tucson. The complaint investigation identified 5 deficiencies in 5 different areas. One of the deficiencies was a repeat deficiency. Ms. Miser was noticed of the complaint, and she did provide a written response. Now, approximately May 24, 2023, DHS took enforcement action, imposed a civil money penalty of $750 for 2 substantial violations. One of those was a repeat deficiency, and Ms. Miser is here today to discuss the complaint investigation.
Okay, so this is a house or a center?
It's a center.
Okay. With how many beds?
52.
And at the time, approximately, how many were present?
I think we had 49.
Okay. And this rose from a complaint investigation?
I thought it was the annual, so I don't know why that didn't make anything more. It just be a guess.
So this complaint investigation identified?
This compliant.
Phil, the opening statement says complaint, AZ001937.
No, it was both. It was a compliance inspection with the complainant.
With the complaint, okay.
Well, this is what, I'm sorry, this is what it says. The following deficiencies are found during a compliant inspection and investigation of compliant. They said the number, that was on April 13th. So it was technical.
Okay. Well, even if there was a point, what that says is it wasn't substantiated, but those are the deficiencies that they found, and something went to enforcement. Okay, got it. The one that went to enforcement was y'all famous disaster drills.
Yes.
How did that happen?
So the disaster drills did occur. The documentation had been taken by a disgruntled ex-employee when they left. It was the maintenance director, and of course I didn't realize until after their departure, but basically it could have been, it may not have been malicious, it could have been by accident. It's possible that he just kind of cleared his desk and took everything, and those documents were included, or it was intentional, I'm not sure.
But they had been done.
They have been done, but the documentation is gone, so if it's not documented, it didn't happen.
And so what do you do now?
I make sure that I retain all of the copies of all of the documentation in my locked office.
Even if the maintenance person also has the originals? Or it's uploaded or whatever? Fingerprinting was also, it wasn't enforced, but it didn't go to enforcement, but there's a fingerprinting issue for 3 of 4 sampled employees.
Yeah, so what happened there, and I take complete ownership of everything, of course, because I'm the manager, but so they weren't new hires. They were transfers from, like, dining services and housekeeping into other positions. And so there was a misunderstanding with the new fingerprint clearance card within the 20 days. They do all have their fingerprint clearance cards, but it wasn't within the 20 days.
Did they, what, if they moved from?
Into caregiving.
Oh, they moved into caregiving and applied for a fingerprint card at that time.
Yes, but it missed the 20-day requirement.
They didn't apply within the 20 days?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, but they all have their fingerprint clearance card.
So that was oversight on your
part.
Yes. Lack of oversight, rather, on your part.
Madam Vice President, you say they all have their fingerprint clearance card, including housekeeping, or just all your?
All the caregivers, and now all of housekeeping, as well as dining service.
Okay.
I just made it an across-the-board requirement for everyone so that I would avoid this in the future.
Yeah. Okay. Well, making sure.
It is now that requirement, so good.
Right.
Okay.
Well, now, yes.
Service plan. Oh, coordination of communication with the families from
so
the service plan.
It just wasn't documented clearly on the service plan, and now we have a designated area on the service plan that it is clearly written that that's the coordination of communications. It was just a matter of the formatting of the document.
But the families had signed off.
Yeah, oh yeah, the signatures were there. It wasn't for a lack of signatures.
Okay. Let's hear it. Any more questions?
I just have one quick question. On the two deficiencies where they gave, well, you're the manager in the previous April 13th of 2022 inspection.
Yes, I was.
And it says technical assistance for this rule was provided during that.
So that was regarding first CCR cards. That was not regarding fingerprint
clearance
cards.
And then you get cited for something, and the same thing with the disaster drill, but you explained that you had it, and somehow the folder went with the employee that quit.
Correct.
And then I guess that's the only two things, right, that they said that they had helped you with so that you wouldn't be written up again, but yet you were, unfortunately. Okay, got it.
When was this inspection?
April 13th of 2023. And the one previous was April 13th of 2022.
What are you doing now to have different policies and procedures now for the personnel files for like the CPR, all of
I created a new checklist for employee files, and I really like bold, highlighted, and underlined the 20-day requirement for the fingerprint cards.
And who does check and balances of that?
Myself, as well as my business services director.
And how often?
I do a monthly audit.
And what happens if their fingerprint card is expired? Then what do you do?
I'll take them off the floor. They can't be on the schedule.
Do you have some way of knowing when an employee card is going to expire?
Yes, we have
expires?
A spreadsheet. We refer to it as the employee table, and it has all of the expiration dates for all of their required documents.
And someone checks that all the time?
Yes, on a monthly basis, and it's put out at staff meetings. We give like a 3-month heads up of things that are coming due.
Okay.
have a question. So you may have heard me ask this earlier. So DHS comes in tomorrow. What area would you think they would be concerned with in your facility? Again?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They would look very, very closely at that.
What I'm asking is do you think there's other deficiency? If there's anything going on in your facility, where do you think you might get deficiency from DHS right now?
Where I might get ones today. Yeah. I don't believe I would get ones today.
That was a good answer.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sure you're very much aware that I'm look at your personal
records. I am very well
foremost, and you want to make sure that they're all current.
Right.
And correct.
Yes.
And everybody knows where they are.
Yes.
And you don't have people pull them out of your building?
No.
It happens. I'm prepared to make a motion.
Madam Vice Chair.
Yes.
From staff's perspective and then Phil's report, you do see the letter of concern that was issued back in December 2022 mm-hmm. for failure to maintain and update personnel records. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's already, and yeah. the board has discretion to handle this error, but there's always been one non-disciplinary warning for this area.
How long have you been a manager?
2.5 years.
Deficiency for the disaster drills was because somebody removed that file. Why was it cited the year before?
The year before was because I was a brand new administrator and it was mid-COVID and I didn't ensure that they happened. So the first time around it was that they didn't occur, but the second time was that they occurred but the documentation was gone. Not an excuse, just an explanation.
No, that's what I was thinking I was going to hear. Board members, what are your thoughts?
How long were you a manager before your first visit?
Oh gosh, only a few months. Yeah,
brand new.
Yeah.
And COVID on top of it.
Right. It was not the ideal scenario to get started in this field.
No. For sure. It's going to be terrible.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a motion. We'll see where it goes.
Okay.
I move that the board find insufficient evidence of violation and dismiss complaint number 2023-NCI-0288 against manager Mary Miser.
Second.
Roll call.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Good luck, and hopefully we
won't
ever have this again.
I hope not.
Thank you for being present.
Come back and visit.
Quite the drive.
Yes.
Just for fun, come back and visit. You get 3 hours of present.
Thank you.
Okay. The rest, I don't believe we have anybody else present. And Nevada, Lenny, James, Hannah, Comingbang, Romero, Dorsa, any of those people present? Are you the people sitting back there, are you on the agenda? You're just here for kicks and giggles? Nice. Okay. I'm going to make a motion on 5A, numbers 4,
7,
11, right here, 11, 12, 14, 15, 16, 17, then we follow the staff recommendation for a disciplinary consent agreement and that be sent out.
Second.
Oops. Did I miss one?
No, I was just going to ask you and board member Steven if he wanted to discuss.
B1.
Thank you.
We're not there yet.
Okay, thank you.
So the motion, do I have to repeat those numbers?
No.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Steven?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Yeah. I did.
Oh, then, did I make it?
No, yeah,
yeah.
You did.
Oh, I
did.
Yeah.
I made the motion. Okay. And then we already have on the record the postponement of A1, 3, and 8.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. 1, 3, and 8.
Until January.
So we'll see them in January.
And then the other one. Now let's do Tabitha Meyer.
That was the other one.
And she's page 984.
984.
Okay. And so do we want to have it outlined for us?
Go ahead and call the case. Okay.
Okay. This is case number 2023 NCI-0222 as an administrator, and we're going to hear from Phil.
Okay, complaint 2023-NCI-0222. Licensee is Tabitha Meyer, who was invited to today's meeting but is not in attendance. And on February 3rd, 2023, DHS conducted 2 nursing care institution complaint investigations at Rim Country Health and Retirement located in Payson. Complaint investigations identified 6 deficiencies in 5 different areas. Ms. Meyer was noticed of the complaint and did provide a written response. And on April 12, 2023, DHS took enforcement action. Post a civil money penalty of $1,000 for 2 substantiated violations. After reviewing this case, staff did not believe that her actions rose to the level of unprofessional conduct, but did recommend a letter of concern be issued, and the concern was that the administrator failed to ensure an allegation of resident neglect is reported within the required time frame to the state agency.
I guess, Phil, if you could help me understand what's going on in that facility, because as I tried to start down the road of a rather extensive file of issues, it just seemed to go on and on and on about the communication breakdown between the administrator, what the policy said, and what was going on within the facility. That people were supposed to report here or supposed to keep track there, and it just wasn't occurring. And there is a extensive section on some sort of Medicare survey towards the end of that file. And I have not gone through every single page of it, honestly. It just kind of overwhelmed me. So when I heard that we just wanted to say, gee, they didn't report to the state agency, I kind of went, whoa, wait a minute.
Well, it's not uncommon for nursing care institutions to have really lengthy surveys and lengthy deficiencies. But what I worry about is whatever goes before it. I mean, it's not that I'm not concerned about the other issues, but They walk into a nurse care institute and they'll write them up pages and pages and pages and pages of deficiencies and not take any action. I wasn't sure that whatever's going on in this facility, I haven't been there, but I didn't think anything rose to the level of what would be considered unprofessional conduct or would require any further action. Now, if you disagree, that's fine, but I don't know.
I see very few administrators to start with show up on our inspections. So I would guess about 95% are homes and then summer centers and then one or two.
We don't get very many cases from DHS on nursing care institutions.
So that's why it just kind of blew me away. I would appreciate anybody on the board even having kind of their reactions and help me along in understanding why we're proposing to do this and if you think it's okay.
So when I see a survey, especially of a skill, there's two components to it. DHS is there. There's an outside, other agency is there. And all of this stuff, yes, it's a lot of verbiage, it's a lot of writing, it's a lot of details of information. The main point around what DHS cited on this particular case was that, was this breakdown in communication. And as the administrator, I don't know how an administrator would report something to somebody if they never even had the knowledge of it. So the breakdown in that system could have been that. So the question is, did the administrator properly train and vet the staffing so that they know how to communicate, or did that take place and the staff failed on their end to communicate? This person was, the citation is written about a person who was received on a Friday late and presumably on hospice and not understood. The nurse at hand said that thought there was a DNR, and a DNR was never founded. The administrator didn't hear about it for months because the administrator didn't work on the weekend and nobody said anything. The administrator.
Well, probably wasn't in the daily reports because the administrator in the nursing home would get every morning, an update what happened in the facility. So they just had a new admission that came through. Was there any issues? If there was any issues, it had been documented, and apparently it was not documented. And if it was a major issue, they would have known, immediately that's Friday. There's always going to be a manager of the day and someone on call 24/7 at that facility. And you're only as good as your whole team communicates. And there was no documentation of any of this. But
so
Medicare.
Our point is we can only really deal with the administrator.
And not the facility.
And not all the breakdown of the staff and their failure to communicate, so to speak.
And so the question is, did this particular administrator, something happened. It didn't happen because of the administrator.
No, that's true.
So the follow-up is what communication happened at that point in time, and was it a lack of professional conduct on the part of this administrator, which is what we're looking at. Did this administrator have a policy, a system in place that or didn't have one in place, and that's why it didn't work, or did she have one in place and somebody else failed?
She had one in place.
She had one in place, and it failed, which is why it could technically, in my opinion, even be dismissed.
I think it should be totally dismissed because my concern, just because of the communication, because, in nursing homes, you go to any nursing home, and every morning at 9 o'clock or 8:30, they have their stand-up. Even if you're a department head, every single department head comes. There's too many moving parts to that. And to get to the other point about Medicare, you've got to remember the nursing homes are funded primarily by Medicare. So that's how they come. So when the surveyors come in, they are not just surveying like they do with the assisted living and group homes. The state surveyor, they have federal regulations that they're regulating, so federal guidelines and also state regulations. So they have
double the amount of work when they come in. But when they come in, they already know what they have. They already know a pretty much sample. They come in and they're already handing them the information to hopefully to the administrator or whoever the manager of the day is, because they don't just do surveys Monday through Friday. They do them after hours. They do them on the weekends. They have to have a percentage by Medicare guidelines to come in after hours to do certain things. So to me, I think from this standpoint, I probably would have done an IMPR to say this should have been overlooked or had a note from the administration of that hospice group. I mean, there could have been, but they didn't, so I'm not
here. And the agencies, in my opinion, particularly after COVID, everybody has knee-jerk reactions to things. And this person was on hospice and died. That is not unexpected. We are the last stop for most people who come to us as residents in assisted living or in critical part of a skilled center. A person on hospice isn't there to rehab. They're on hospice. And so whoever the nurse was presumed there was a DNR. We don't know whether that was true or not true, but that in and of itself isn't what this administrator was cited for. The administrator was cited for not notifying department because the administrator was never told. So is that the failure of the administrator, in which case we look at unprofessional conduct, or was it not the fault of the administrator and a breakdown in the system otherwise?
Madam Vice President, you know, in the end, we say all the time, well, you're responsible, right? But, you know, sometimes it's harder to know when there's the one item that is brought before us. But I would say this. One of the puzzling things about this particular case is the manager or the licensee said, well, we're just not going to take hospice on the weekends anymore. So, or respite hospice on the weekends. And the reason that jumped out at me is because, you know, in general, I have found that at SNFs and indeed even at Living Care and, you know, the Phantom Memory Care, weekends are rough. And I think that as a licensee, the weekends are your responsibility too. And where a lot of things break down is Saturday and Sunday. And so that the manager is simply saying, well, we're not prepared for weekends, so we're not going to take residents, says to me that part of that communication breakdown is that she didn't have policies and procedures in place for that communication to happen. So, you know, I think given the scenario, a letter of concern is probably, I guess, I don't know, compromise is a good word for a licensing board, but, you know, you have a situation where, you know, some could see it being dismissed and others are thinking, well, why is it only a letter? I think it's both are good questions, but with a letter of concern, at least in the file, if there continue to be lapses with this manager, at least there'll be an indicator on this manager's record. But I do think there is a bigger problem with the way a lot of administrators, managers, kind of look at weekends as a black hole they don't have to worry about. And I'm concerned about that.
I don't see that in this. What I see is that she just made that blanket statement because of the nature of the lack of communication. It's very frustrating, I think, being in her shoes to not have been communicated for how long. Mm-hmm. And she finds out that way. I feel like it wasn't anything she could control. And yes, now I'm sure there's multiple layers of communication. I am constantly communicating with the community just because it's just what it is. You have to make sure that you hold them accountable, right? And I'm sure she's doing that now. But I think that statement was just, I'm just going to make it easier. I can't believe this is happening to me at this time. I didn't know for months. We're just not going to take a respite hospice.
But if someone passes away who's in your care, I mean, is there only one person who knows? I mean, one of others around you know?
I mean, some facilities require that as an incident report.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that one person knows. No. The fact that the CPR procedure wasn't also should then a trigger for an incident report up through the staff. So I think there's multiple incidences here. The discussion around the fact pattern is great. I think Phil really spelled it out well on page 3 and 4 of his report. DHS found violations that they sanctioned the ownership for. Phil says that there is evidence supporting a violation or appears to rise the level of letter of concern. I don't think you guys are disputing the facts.
No.
I think you're looking for the answer as to why it happened. If you look real closely at the facts in the case, what the deficiencies were, that will help you, that will lead you to a motion and a vote.
For me, it doesn't lead to a dismissal. It leads to some sort of action that I would support.
And I think Board Member Steve, and that's, we have an extended conversation about this this morning. This goes back, the original survey goes back to what, Phil, 2022?
Yeah, at least.
So this has been, the other factor in this is the time. So DHS was out there back in 2022. They didn't really report everything to us, which was probably part of the federal survey until 2023.
Yeah.
Almost a year later. So that facility, so your protection of the public, this place has been operating for over a year with the corrections that are in place and so forth. So any type of education we would try to do now is a year late. I think we really need to look at whether or not it rises to the level of disciplinary action or a non-disciplinary action. That's the staff recommendation. That's the staff perspective.
Well, I'm going to do a motion that we still follow the staff recommendation letter of concern. I do think the safety measures are definitely put in place, and it's been going on for about almost 2 years now, almost. And I think that any time that a facility, in any way, shape, or form, gets a penalty from the Department of Health Services, and they say that it's not their fault, whatnot, and they don't have an IDR, then, you know, I really have some concerns. They take ownership of that regardless. So that's my motion. I'm going to stay up to date with a letter of concern.
Is there a second?
I second that.
Yeah, I don't think you need to state the concerns since Phil already did.
I think you did a good job. Okay.
Roll call.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Hill.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay. All right. We believe that concludes the focus. Huh? Yeah. So we have a board president report, which is not me. Executive director report.
I had a heck of a time getting some stuff entered into the materials this morning. That's why the materials don't have anything specific. I want to just cover three things real quick. President Kidder met with a couple of the industry leaders, talked about some statutory language and some rule changes that we want to present next session. The result of those conversations was that staff was going to put together some draft language, let the board know what that staff language is, float it out to everybody, and I just haven't gotten it drafted. It's somewhere, it's nothing new. It's what we've been talking about over the last year as far as some changes to statute for some due process rights for people appearing in front of the board, maybe a couple of things to delegate to the executive director to make things more efficient with licensing and enforcement. But I will bring you that language when it's available.
Director,
can I ask
you
a question? Yes.
Well, then, what did Mr. Kidder meet with the industry on? Are there bullet points or
talking
points that you can share with us?
I will give you the actual draft document.
Okay.
It's all legislative. Off the top of my head, we talked about endorsement language and the rules for administrators. and the entry requirements for nurses with 20 to 25 years of experience. We talked about delegating statutory change for delegation of dismissals to the executive director under certain terms. In other words, the statutory request would be for the legislature and the governor's office to sign off on the board delegating duties to the executive director. So that goes along with your enforcement matrix issue. What does a dismissal look like? Well, the board could then delegate the staff dismissal of cases under these certain criteria. Keep going, Jack. We also talked about, I mentioned administrator entry requirements. We talked about an enforcement matrix. And I'm missing the other one.
Could you talk about the, how we were operating or doing,
We talked about that, but that's already, so that's, I'll cover that in a second. There's one other statutory item, but the bottom line is I will get you that language and we'll hopefully have that conversation. We don't have a board meeting until January, I'll get you that language. I'll send it out to you so you can clearly see everything that we chatted about.
And we're not terminating as a board, right? We've been extended.
We got extended 2 years.
Okay.
That's why we're having a sunset review.
Good.
This year. There's one or two items that I'm missing. We should be having a joint health committee meeting before the legislature. They're normally November, December.
But not this year.
I contacted legislative staff and they don't know if we're going to have that or when. So I don't know if we're having that now or what's going to happen with that. We sunset next year. So if we don't get a renewal, this board goes away.
In 2024, is that what I'm hearing you say?
In June?
Yes.
June of 2024.
Yes.
June of 2024.
Wow. Yes.
Just like we did before 2 years ago.
Yes. And Jack retires and rides off into the
sunset. Not this time.
So the other part of that discussion is the Auditor General. As you know, we had an audit back in 2021. We finally got the sign 36 months afterwards, after numerous attempts, we finally had their sign off, and we have implemented all the recommendations. It's been a long 2 years, right? So all that's culminating into a legislative and executive discussion here next year. So we're going to get busy with that. The rules, we have rules that are going to be written on several fronts. We did the 22% fee increase. That got approved by the governor's office. We will be filing the notice of proposed rulemaking probably within the next week. That sets off stakeholder meetings, notice to the industry, feedback. I would not expect those rules, if approved, till the middle of the year. We're a couple months out on that. We also have a 5-year rule review that is due to GERC by December. And that is Articles 4 and 6. I'd have to check. We have two articles that are coming up for the 5-year rule review. So our rule writer has already, we've drafted that. We're going to be submitting that to them. Was there another question? Did I answer your question?
Yeah.
All right, because I'm starting to lose it here. we are not having, next thing is Authentia database. This is item D, 7D. We are switching databases. We're going, getting away from Salesforce, we're going to Authentia. They require a blackout date, meaning we have to shut down our system for 2 to 3 weeks so they can pull data, transfer it into Authentia. We are starting at December 1st. What that means to our industry and our customers is that nobody can file electronic applications. are, nobody can file anything through the web, through online. We are going to come up with a plan and do our best to handle that, but we're going to, on the, if you go to the website, it's going to be a splash page that says we're down for this amount of time because we're changing databases. I can tell you right now it's going to create a lot of grief.
Oh, it is.
You will all hear about it and what the bloody heck is going on down at the board. I don't have a workaround.
Do we already have it posted on the website right now?
Yeah,
that's what I was going to ask.
No.
They can definitely.
No.
Could we do that?
This literally came up Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
sorry. I found out Thursday that they wanted to start to switch over today.
So could we definitely post and say we're giving a 2-week heads up? So
absolutely. We're planning to do that. I just haven't done it yet.
Okay.
And I was not a happy kid. What was my tone like, Danita?
He was not thrilled with the news.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he used adult vocabulary.
Yeah. Is this statewide, Jack, or just our agency?
Our agency and about maybe 10 to 15 other smaller boards are moving over to Thentia.
Yeah.
We got put into the last slot.
You know what? We called this mic, and you know what? We're going to do it anyway, so it doesn't matter if it happens today or next
week. Yeah.
But so, I think to these public customer service.
So
the Attorney General's office did their whatever. A lot of files were actually lost from us. So this may happen with us as
data
well.
Data migration is the biggest problem with any management and any system change. And
yeah.
I've been yelling about it for several months, but
it's
not
okay.
A lot of people listen. So,
Director, are we actively sending out a blast for licensees?
Yes.
Or, okay.
Yeah, we're going to.
It's not just going to be posted.
Yeah, it's going to. We're going to get an email out. Unfortunately,
okay.
The software for SendGrid is not really active right now.
Okay.
So we got to. But that's the plan. It's short notice. It's what we were dealt.
It is what it is.
So you're going to hear about it. Hopefully, by being in January, we will be up and running. I make no promises. I am skeptical that we're going to hit these deadlines right now. Knowing what I know and the way they're scrambling to get all these systems up and running. So, we'll see. I'm not even sure we're going to be accepting paper applications yet. To be announced.
How did you know that's what I was going to ask you?
What's that?
How did you know that's what I was going to ask you?
Because...
That was next.
I'm good at what I do. I've been doing it for a long time.
Did they tell me my lotto number?
I just...
So
know,
no, you're not going to accept, are you going to be testing that in December? Probably not.
The first test, yes.
Mm-hmm.
We're already set up. We're going to be doing that.
Okay.
We've talked about some manual transition things, testing we're going to get done. I cannot answer. Jane, I think last time I talked to Jane, she said we're getting about 3 applications a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About 3.
Yes.
So, that's what you're dealing with. But you're also talking about nurse appointments. You're also talking about, you know, training programs. There's a lot of things that we've only had since Thursday to figure out and manage.
Well, the director, also, I guess my concern is on that is how do we, as a board, protect yourself from the sunset review? Because we know it's coming up, and this is going to be a hit. And we already know. We know now.
Thentia is a necessary step right now. It is so much more, while the data mining and everything is so much more capable in the Salesforce, the usual user experience, the ease of use for our customers is going to be 1,000% better. So it's going to cut down on our workload because we're going to hopefully have less calls in the office. Oh, my Salesforce broke, I can't renew. You know, we could go on and on about the problems with Salesforce. So,
no, it's necessary, but I think that we just need to be very transparent about it, and because we know we are going to have a hit on that.
And so somebody's not going to get in trouble if they are trying to submit a notice of appointment and it's not within the time frame because they can't actually upload it to the site.
I would never make a forecast of what the future brings or something like that. They're still going to be required to comply with
the
statutes.
Can they get it delivered?
They've
got
to
get it into the work.
Yeah.
They can email it.
They
just
can
like
email
they do
it.
Now.
No.
No. Now we have to upload it to the portal.
It,
well, that's the preferred
responsibility to comply.
Preferred way. But by notifying
us. The portal was the only way for us to comply. And now, if that's not available for those days, if somebody takes a new appointment.
My answer's not going to change.
So anybody who asks me, I'm going to tell them to hand deliver it to you.
Anybody that asks you, you should refer to the board and not answer the question.
Yeah, don't take the e-board.
I don't take e.
We've talked about this ground previously.
I just want to know.
Can I ask you a question? Because we're not going to have a board meeting in December. So do any of the board members' terms expire? Are they staying on? Or where are we with the board now?
I honestly don't know. I couldn't tell you. I haven't looked at that list in 2 months.
In the past, we've always stayed on unless there was a reason to not.
I have not chatted with the governor's office about appointments. I know there's probably one outstanding issue, but I haven't chatted with them for a while. My focus has been on rules, one or two other things, but I really haven't talked to them about board appointments. We have been able to have, okay, so looking back on that, do you know how many board meetings we've had this year?
Yes.
14? 15?
11.
11? More than we did last year.
We've had a board meeting every month. Yeah. The amount of work that the staff has put together for you is incredible right now. Yeah. And we've gone through a lot of cases. So the reason I bring that up is we've been close on quorum, but I haven't had to cancel any meetings the entire year due to quorum. And as long as we can continue to have meetings and get our work done, hopefully everybody's pleased with it.
I want to thank you and all your staff. I think that every month seems to me getting better and better.
We're trying. We're definitely trying.
January will be a very busy meeting. We have
a very large hearing docket. Mm-hmm. I don't know the numbers.
7 to 10.
Okay. We have 7 to 10 hearings. You got a couple cases of carried over here. Mm-hmm. So January's going to be busy. It might be heavy with hearing cases.
Okay.
So that's also our annual officer election vote.
Yes, all of that too.
Yes. Yeah, I think we're required to do that in January. So I hope I answer some of your questions. I want to cover some of that. Does anybody have any other questions?
Well, Jack, just as a computer person that doesn't understand computers, when you do this new system, is it going to look differently to me when I'm sitting up in Prescott when it finally is up and running?
No. So this is all the website. The website and the public-facing side of it, is going to be pretty much the same. One of the things we did on the public-facing side that I think is good for consumers is we were never able to match up administrators and managers to two locations. Mm-hmm. So if I was an administrator, I was looking at working at two locations, and John Doe did a check on me, I would never see both locations listed on the website. This system is now going to allow that. So the other part of it is, I just lost it. So we've added that to the configuration of the new system. So there's going to be more information that's easily accessible for consumers or anybody looking for administrator or manager. The same thing's going to happen that all the disciplinary actions will propagate to that website for 5 years. Because after 5 years, it drops off pursuant to statute right now. So it'll look a little different that way, but everything else is on the back end. I don't know, Denise, how would you describe it? More user-friendly? How would you describe the look and feel of
Yeah, it is more user friendly. It guides them through like the application process a lot easier. Like it won't allow them to proceed unless certain things are answered correctly, documents uploaded. And then as far as like Jack was talking about the public facing portal, it has a really nice look where you can see the manager's name, when they were licensed, when it expires, disciplinary actions, and then the add-on of the facilities that they're managing. So.
So it has a nice look.
Lots of value to it.
I think once we get it configured, the data migration is going to be huge. So that's going to be the biggest problem with us doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And it is with every system. So, yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Yes.
Madam Vice President, I don't have anything more unless there's any questions.
To the members of the state of Arizona, Board of Examiners and Nursing Care Institution Administrators and Assisted Living Facility Managers, the Board, and the general public, that the Board will hold its regular monthly meeting, which is open to the public, on Monday, November 13th, 2023. Regular Board meeting to be held at 1740 West Adams Street, Board Meeting Room C, Phoenix, Arizona, 85007. At 9 a.m., time is 9:04. As Mr. Counselor just reminded everybody, please turn your phones off or silent. You don't want to hear them. Persons with a disability may request a reasonable accommodation, such as sign language interpreter, by contacting Jack Comfort at 602-542-8156 or through the Arizona Relay Services at 711. Please make your request as early as possible to allow time to arrange the accommodation. The Board President reserves the right to change the order of the items listed on the agenda, except for matters scheduled at a specific time. Board members may be present by telephone. During the course of the meeting, the Board, upon majority vote of a quorum of the members, may hold an executive session.